wonderful job. No, y'all put your hands together for them. Let me tell you something. It is not easy. It is not easy at all. My God. This music department is handling up. All right. Audio, video in the house. These are all people who have an option of what to do on today, but they chose today that they were going to come and serve God. That's a wonderful thing. Amen. Yeah. Bishop says, hello. He cares about you. He loves you to death. Just wants you to know. He gave me a call. He said, Pastor Washington, can you handle it? I said, I can handle it, sir. Y'all ready for the word? Stand to your feet. If we turn to the Bible in 1 Peter 4 and 16, turn to 1 Peter 4 and 16. We're going to get right down to it and go to basics. 1 Peter 4 and 16. It's kind of close to the back if you're looking for it. Just God gave you a table of contents in the front. Don't be scared to use it. I've seen preachers that are scared to use it, so they just kind of turn to the middle and stand next to somebody. Don't worry about that. God put that table of contents there. Didn't expect for you to memorize the Bible. That's why he wrote it down for you. Amen? It's a wonderful thing. That table of contents is there to save us sometimes. 1 Peter 4 and 16 says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Amen? Have a seat. Have a seat. 1 Peter 4 and 16. Let's pray real quick. I want you to pray with me. Are y'all ready? I want y'all to pray. Just say, Lord, speak to me right now in Jesus' name. All right, I ain't got to worry about it now. God's going to say something to you. Amen? We're going to talk about something very fundamental today. It's something that we see all the time. We talk about it all the time. We talk about being Christians all the time. We talk about being men and women of faith. We talk about that all the time as pastors. We talk about preaching God's word and all of these things. Sometimes I notice some things. I notice when people, when they first come to Christ, they got something a little bit different. Y'all with me? Something a little bit different. They all excited. You know, they're happy. They just want to tell somebody about Christ. They don't know five scriptures, but they're just on fire. They're ready. They're just excited. I remember here at this church at Charity, I remember years ago, had to be about 15 or 16 years ago, there was a young man that went to this church, and one of the things I just loved about him is that he was just so faithful. He was just so faithful. He would be here whenever these doors opened. Matter of fact, he was here so often and so early that the pastors here just gave him a key and said, you know what, don't worry about sitting outside, man. We're just going to give you a key and let you be on the inside. And I talked with that young man one time. I said, man, what is it about that you just hear all the time, man? You just hear. Because back in those times, man, let me tell you something. We could stop by church at 3 o'clock in the morning and somebody will be there back in the day. We could stop by Monday night. At 1 a.m., somebody would be there. It was exciting. Somebody was always there. But this brother here would always open the church. He'd be there. I said, why are you here like that? He said, man, let me tell you something. He said, I am here on these grounds because if I'm not here, I'm going to be doing something that's going to destroy me. He said, I'm going to be somewhere smoking something I shouldn't be smoking. I'm going to be somewhere doing something that I should not be doing. And man, if I'm not here, that's the stuff that's going to be happening. So I am making sure that I'm right here because, man, I'm not really not strong enough. He's being straight up. He said, I'm not strong enough to be out there and get tempted with all the things that are temptations for me away from this place. I'm not strong enough. I'm not strong enough. And when I think back to that particular moment and I think about what happens to a person's life, especially a Christian, over the next 5, 10, 15, and 20 years, all the things that happen, and I want to title this, what is a Christian? What is a Christian? Because when we think back and we got that zeal and the whole nine and you're there and you know this thing is going to get you and you know if I leave here I'm going to smoke crack, but then I look at people who have been in Christ for 15, 20, 25, 30 years. Some of them are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and they fall in the sins that baby Christians seem to avoid. I can turn on the TV and I can see somebody who's been preaching for 25 years or pastoring a church for 30 years and next thing you know they got four babies in the church and they kick them out. I seen something not too long ago where unfortunately a pastor passed away, but before he passed away some things just went really wrong in his life. Next thing you know he's smoking stuff, you know, he's drinking everything and all. these things that this young Christian has been saved for 18 minutes knew to stay away from. So how is it that somebody can be in Christ for 30 years and fall for something that somebody that's been in Christ for 40 minutes can get away from? We're going to talk about two things that are specific in that. As a matter of fact, we're going to turn to the Bible real quick. I want y'all to turn to the Bible in Mark 14 and 38. Mark 14 and 38. We're going to talk about how people get caught up. How does that happen? How do you preach for 20 years and fall for something that is just seems so small that the Bible warns against 15 million times? How does that happen? Well, let's take a look at this. Mark 14 and 38 says, watch and do what? Watch ye and what? I can't hear y'all. What? Pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is truly ready, but the flesh is weak. Years ago, I purchased a house, and it was a brand new house. I had to have it built, and me and my wife were excited. But let me tell you something. If you've ever had a house built, you know exactly what a headache it is. I've never in life, is it? There we go. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thanks. That's being a Christian right there. When you see your brother overtaken in a fall or got his coat messed up, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. See, that's biblical right there. Thank you very much. Is my fly okay? We all right? Okay. Let me check it real quick. We're good. We're good. Okay. Amen. Amen. All right. The years ago, we had a house built, and I have never in my life seen somebody have a house built and have a good experience. Never seen it. As a matter of fact, there's a gentleman who built a house in the city that I live in, and it is the most expensive house in that city. It cost $10 million to build. And I said, man, I watched your house be built, man, brick by brick. He said, yeah, me too. Took them 3 years to build the house. He said, halfway into building the house, he fired the original builder to hire a different builder. He said, they're used to building homes that are $2 and $3 million, but $10 million was just too much for them. So I would feel that you're spending $10 million, you're going to get something that you really, really like, and you're going to enjoy that process. Well, that's not even the case with $10 million. So I've never seen somebody build a house and have a great experience. And so we were kind of experiencing some of the same things. You know, I didn't notice it at first. We were actually having a house built, and I was 2,000 miles away. So I was flying in to check on the house and then flying back home. And one time I was walking through the house. Me and my wife were walking through with the builder, and the builder's walking through, and all of a sudden he just stops, put his head down in his hands, and he says, man, Mr. Washington, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We're going to fix this immediately. And I didn't even know what he was talking about. Come to find out, they had put a wall in the wrong place. I didn't even notice it. Put a wall in the wrong place. Well, one of the things is we were building a house that the city that we were living in said, because you've come into this particular area, a wooded area, and we're building a community here, we're going to require that you have so many trees in the front yard. Well, when they come in to build a house, they leveled everything. There was no tree in the front yard. They said, Mr. Washington, if you want this house built, if you want us to sign off on the house and you actually live there, you're going to have some trees, so many trees in this front yard. So we don't have any trees. They said, well, you know, it's totally up to you. It's totally up to you. You can look at this beautiful home and pass by it every day, take pictures next to it and the whole nine. But you will not be living here if you don't have some trees, X amount of trees installed in this front yard. So y'all know what I did, right? We went and got some trees to put in the front yard. Now, I didn't know anything about trees. Matter of fact, I've got a brown thumb, both literally and figuratively. My thumb is brown. I can't grow anything. So we had to talk to the people about how to take care of a tree. I didn't know anything about this. I never took care of a tree in my life. Matter of fact, I didn't even want a yard. I was trying to figure out if they can just fill it with rocks. That way I don't have to cut it, right? So I went down to Home Depot and wherever we were and talked to the people, and then some other folks came and installed the trees. And it was actually funny because the inspectors came and one tree was in the ground. The other tree was in the truck. So I had to convince the inspector that, no, that tree is really going to end up in the ground. I promise you that's not just for show. They're going to put the tree in the ground. Now, when they did put the tree in the ground, they gave me all types of instructions. Now, I tell you, I've got four. But I think I had to take more attention and more care with that tree than all of the four combined. I didn't know you had to do all the stuff for a tree. Okay, you had to set it up a certain way. I had to get certain kind of mulch around it. I had to water it every so often, but not too much because it's going to kill the tree. Then I had to go out there and make sure it was still structurally standing upright. You got to put sticks and everything because, as they passed, Mr. Washington, if the wind blows too much, you know, it'll knock your tree over. And I don't want the tree to get knocked over. Tree gets knocked over, I'm in violation. I lose my house, right? Got this homeowner association situation that I'm not really excited about. And I'm like, really? Okay, I'm trying to take care of the trees. I don't know about a tree, but I went down there. I talked to the people. I'm watering the tree. I'm taking care of the tree and all of these things. And lo and behold, that tree started to grow, and as it was starting to grow, I started feeling a little good, you know. I'm watering, I'm doing right, you know. I actually started taking care of the grass, too. I ain't gonna lie, we actually had a yard man to take care of the grass, but he took good care of the grass, and I paid him on time. Me and the man next to us, we used to compete. He used to cut his own yard. I said, you're not there yet, you're not there yet. Mine's still greener. Of course, I didn't even know the dude's name who cut the yard, so I couldn't cut the yard to save my life. But nevertheless, this tree was growing. It was growing. I was taking care of it. It was growing. I was watering it. It was growing. It was growing. It was great. It started to, you know, to get big, and then all of a sudden a leaf comes out on the tree. You're like, yeah, I did that right there. I ain't did nothing, right? I mean, you put some water on it, like I made the water. You know, I didn't do nothing. But, you know, you feel good about yourself. You know, you really just following instructions, but you feel good about yourself. Now contrast that tree, brand new, 40 days old. I'm putting it here, and I'm taking all types of care of it and holding on. And I want you to fast forward. Now I've since moved away from that particular place, and I live in a different place now. And about a month or so ago, I had a large tree in my front yard, large tree. I had several large trees in my front yard, but we had noticed that one of them had died. Now quite honestly, I didn't notice it had died. Probably 6 months after he had died, be honest with you. I'm just being honest. And we had to take that tree and we had to cut it down. And, you know, once again, I work on computers and I preach, so I hired somebody to come cut it down. But I did buy a chainsaw thinking that I might do some of this, but that didn't work. So I hired somebody to come and cut the tree down. And the tree had been dead so long, you can't even see the rings on it anymore. I mean, it's just a old dead stump in the ground. Now let's think about that. Now here's a tree that's 40 days old. I'm taking care of it. I'm watering it. I'm giving it everything it needs. I'm nurturing it. I'm saying, you know what? Well, I'm protecting it from the weather and the elements. I'm protecting a tree, you know, like the tree can't protect it. I'm protecting it. And here's this tree that's been here for 40 years that I neglected. I neglected the 40-year-old tree, and guess what happened to the 40-year-old tree? It died. Let's look back at the scripture one more time. Y'all still got your Bible, right? Let's look at this again. The Bible says in Mark 14 and 38 that we need to watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit is truly ready, but the flesh is weak. Let me tell you something. You're going to be tempted. One of the reasons that Christians fall is because brand new Christians know that they're going to be tempted. They know what they're going to be tempted with. They know they need nurturing. They know they're not strong enough to stand up on their own. They know I need to be covered at all times. They know I need to stay in the Word. They know I need to be as close to all the Christian people as I possibly can. But something happens when you start getting older in Christ. I've been here 10 years. I've been here 15 years. I've been here 20 years. I don't really need the same thing that the young Christian needs. Let me back up. Let me say it a different way. So since I'm an old tree, I don't need the same kind of watering. I don't need the same kind of care. I don't need the same kind of sunshine. Let me explain to you something. You need the exact same thing that you had when you first got here. Now, just like you had the 40-day tree that you need to take care of, I should have been taking care of the 40-year tree. Now, here's what's cold. I told you, I didn't even realize that the tree had died till 6 months after it was gone. I see Christians walking around the same way. Your faith didn't gone a long time ago. It still looked like a tree. And in the winter time, when none of the trees have leaves, it looked just like all the other trees that were living, even though it was dead. Just like Christians are saying the right things, going to church on a regular basis. They got a Bible, they pack it. If I start quoting scripture, they ain't finish it. Oh man, faith without works is, y'all know it, boy. They with it. But we forget the fundamentals sometimes. The thing that the baby Christian knows. The Bible says faith without works is dead, but it also says that without faith it's impossible to please God. And then we come on and say faith cometh by hearing. And then we just read a scripture that talked about that we should pray on a regular basis lest we fall into temptation. Now let's think about that just for a second. Now you're going to be tempted. Please don't get it twisted. Jesus got tempted. We'll talk about that in a minute. You're going to be tempted, but it says you're going to fall into temptation if you're not prayed up. Now let me tell you the difference that I see with a lot of Christians. One of the things I talk about all the time. If I tell you, me and you, we're just talking. We're talking, and we're talking about Andre, Brother Andre, and we're just talking, and we're saying good stuff. You know, Brother Andre, you know, he's cold, man. He can sing. He's doing his thing with the dreads, man. And I remember when he first got the dreads, it wasn't, wow, it was just, you know. And he's doing his thing, you know. And I'm telling you, he's probably one of the greatest guys out there. And I'm telling you, man, he need to record like 2 albums right now. You know what? I would even record them. And we're just talking back and forth. And you're like, yeah, he is great. He's phenomenal. He's like one of the best choir leaders. It'd be 3 of us. Sound like it's 50 of us sometimes because he's just doing his thing. And we're just talking back and forth. And we're just pumping him up. And then Andre walks in. And Andre said, hey, y'all, I'm ready to go. We're like, no, we don't need to talk to you. Because we've been talking about you for the past hour. That ain't the same thing, is it? See, talking about God and talking to God, two totally different things. See, if we're just talking to each other, we're not getting the benefit of him. We're just talking about him. Now, that's great. We can say all kind of phenomenal things about him. There's nothing wrong with that. But if we neglect talking to him, we stay stagnant. If we say we're not going to read the words and we're not going to do all the things necessary to know him, we don't grow. See, Christians, I'm going to be real honest with you, especially if we get into what we call Christendom and we get into churchdom, we're doing the church thing all the time and we're at church from sun up to sun up and we're at church every time the church opens and when it's there, we're there. And I got to be real honest with you, pastors are the worst at it. Church would be going on, you'd be in the parking lot. But you come far. You don't need the same kind of watering? Oh, I've been saved for 20 years. That tree was with me for 40 years. Oh, I've been reading this word. That tree at some point got watered too. I read it 20 years ago. I don't need to re-up. I heard some people tell me that. No, I read the Bible until I was about 18. Now I'm good. That's like we conversated till I was 18 and then I'm good now. I'm all right. I'm good. I'm 42 now. I'm good. I'm 45, man. We spent time till I was 18. I was 18 years that we served together, brother. I know you. How many of you know that's not enough? Really, if you look at Jesus' life that we really focus on, the part that we focus on is 3 years. That's it. It's 3 years. And if you read the Bible, there's no way we could capture all the things that he did. It's just impossible. And here you have God manifested in the flesh, and he's praying. But you've been saved for 40 years. I got this. I don't need to pray like that. Now, I needed to pray hard when I first got saved, but I don't need to really do it like that no more. Because, you know, I'm good. I will guarantee you that at your weakest point is where the enemy is going to step in. I guarantee you. We got a Bible for that. If you go to Matthew, and I won't make y'all go there right now, but if you go to Matthew and you read it, there's a story where Jesus said, you know what, I need to do some fasting and I need to do some praying. And he goes into fasting for 40 days. Okay. Now, Jesus is God, still man in the flesh. After 40 days of the flesh not having nourishment, it is weak. When does the enemy come in? Right at the end of them 40 days. Looking at him, say, hey, man, I know you're hungry. Jesus like, hey, man, you know, we don't live on bread alone. Don't even worry about it. Don't even worry about it. It's the enemy stepping in saying, I know what you haven't had. I'm going to give you something that looks like what you need. That's people get married in the wrong place. I ain't had a man in 16 years. I'm going to give you something to look like a man, but really ain't. I'm going to let that marinate just for a moment in this day and age. Just at the very point where he had finished all of this fasting and the whole nine, at the very end of that, here steps the enemy saying, you know what, I'll tell you what, man, you see all this, man? You serve me, I can give you all of this. That's when Jesus is like, you know what, I'll tell you what, I'm paraphrasing, y'all, it don't say bounce, but you're going to have to bounce. I'll tell you, we're going to write a ghetto Bible, right? You're going to have to bounce, devil. You're going to have to bounce. You're going to have to get out of here. And it's after that. You know, if we have certain types of Bibles, like this Bible that this young lady has right here, the words written in red are spoken by whom? Right, spoken by Jesus. If you want to find one of the biggest blocks of red, look right after Jesus was tempted and told the devil you need to go on somewhere. That's when the breakthrough came. That's when all the stuff comes. That's when a lot of stuff that we know, that we talk about Jesus, talk about the Beatitudes and all of those things, all that stuff happened right after the temptation. Now, unfortunately, a lot of people never make it to the after temptation because they fall into temptation. And so let's take a look. Let's take a look. Let's see what we need to do when the devil tempts us. What happens? There's an excellent excerpt here in the Bible, excellent scripture, Genesis 39 and 7. It's an excellent thing here. Excellent, excellent. For those that are not totally familiar with the story, there's a young man named Joseph whom his father really liked, took care of him, kind of showed favor to him. His other brothers really didn't like that. Long story short, they left him for dead. Then they sold him into slavery. He gets sent to this place, and he's trying to do right. He's trying to serve God. He's trying to do all the things that God would have him to do. Then something happens here in Genesis 39 and 7. It said, and it came to pass after all these things that his master's wife, it's talking about Joseph's master's wife, cast her eyes upon Joseph. Think about that just for a second. You know, you doing your thing, you know, talking to the men just for a moment. You know, you doing your thing, you handling up, you doing your job, you serving God. In comes the boss's wife saying, hey, how you doing there, brother? I seen you out there working in the yard, glistening. You know, I've heard some good things about you. And then she doesn't make any bones about it. She says, lie with me. Now, that lie doesn't mean come tell an untruth with me. That's not what she's talking about. You know, let's go tell everybody the sky is red. That's not the lie she's talking about. She's straight up. Here's a woman that knows what she wants. She doesn't have time. Get right down to it. Verse 8 says, but he refused. This is Joseph. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master would have not want me not what is within me in this house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. Here's Joseph saying, look, man, I appreciate a good thing. You don't understand. I know you fine and everything. You want me and everything. That's all fine and dandy. But let me tell you something. This dude right here is taking care of me. He's given me everything that he has. And you're trying to give me the rest of it. I don't need that. With all of this, I could probably get there. I got everything in my hand. So she's saying, no, you ain't got everything. I got something. Verse 9, there is no one greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Only thing he kept from me is you. That's it. You trying to complete the package. And he says there's a reason why. He said, because you are his wife. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Let's pause right there. First, y'all give Joseph a hand right there. Brothers, can we speak just for a moment? His master ain't around. He ain't there. You hear Joseph saying, there's nobody in this whole area greater than me. The master's giving me everything. Everything here. I got subject over people. I can get people to watch the door right now. You think the president got Secret Service? This brother right here. I can have somebody put to death if they just say something. Everything is in my hand. Don't you think that the master really trusts him? Yeah. Now, he could have abused this right now. He had a decision to make. Let's be honest. He had a decision to make. Because evidently, something had to be going. It ain't like he didn't want to. He had a decision to make. Let's see what decision he makes. If we read on, it said, and it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph, day by day, that he hearkened not to her to lie by her or to be with her. Now check this out. This is every day. One time. I'm good. Don't worry about it. You know what? Master gave me everything. I'm good. Don't worry about that. I appreciate you though. But no, I don't want to do this sin in my master's house. Second day. Now I'm still good. Don't worry about it. Don't even worry about it. I'm good. I don't want to do the sin in my master's house. It might have been easy the first day, second day. The Bible says day by day. Be straight up with me. Every day? She fine too? Can we be real? Every day? And you are the man. We talk about being the man. No one in the country other than this master is able to tell you to do anything. You can tell everybody what to do. Everybody. I need you to do this. I need you to do that, but not now. Wait a year from now, then do that. I need you to do that, but over there, but wait 10 days. Ain't nobody gonna say nothing. You the man. He said, there's nobody here greater than me. And you got this woman every day. You think that's not temptation? You lying to your own self. I'm going to show you how much temptation this was, day by day. It was, you know, the first couple times, you know, it's easy. Whatever, you know, I can get past that. I'm going to say no. Let's look at 11. And it came to pass that about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house were within. Listen real good. There's nobody there. We talk about having integrity. That's doing the right thing when no one's even looking. There's nobody there. Nobody there. She says, and she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand, and he got up out of there. He fled. Now, let me give you an example of think about this. You somewhere, and a woman goes to lay her hand. Every day, she coming on to you. Every day. You step in there with nobody's there. Nobody's in there. They said there's no man there. And here it is. She said, hey, I want you right now. Grabs his coat. Grabs onto his garment. This brother comes out of his clothes. I got to go. I would love for the Bible to have like another scripture after that to say exactly where he went next. You know, I mean, who did he run tell that to, right? Who gonna believe him? Yeah, for real. Potiphar's wife, really? Come on, nah. Came out his clothes to get away. Now, how many brothers come out their clothes to get away? I'm going to come out my, I'm going to leave my garment here to get away. Think of how quick he had to be moving. It wasn't, let me just take off the shirt and, it's cool, ain't nobody here. I already told you, I'm going to have to get back with you. Now think about something. Joseph couldn't have been a punk. The master wouldn't handed everything over to somebody who's not an alpha male. That wouldn't have happened. So you got a male that's able to handle himself. Being able to handle himself is not the issue. For him to say, I got to flee, there must have been temptation there. That's the flesh and the spirit talking to each other. The flesh was in the garment. I'm going to stay right here. Spirit ran out the front door. But I want you to look at something very, very interesting. It said that, when he came into the place, he came in there, and there was no men around. There was nobody around. Temptation is going to come. Ain't nobody else around. Can't nobody see it? Can't nobody see what you're doing? You 5,000 miles away from home. Don't nobody know. Don't nobody know you here. Can't nobody see your computer? Ain't nobody around. They don't see what's on your cell phone. Ain't nobody looking. It's at work, at lunch, ain't nobody know. It's just me and her. It's just me and him. Nobody know. Temptation is going to hit you at that exact moment. Jesus was alone too. He was up there by himself. Temptation's coming. Now, if you've been like the tree that we talked about that was 40 days old and you took care and you stayed watered, a couple of things will happen. Number one, you'll know that, I'm not strong enough to even be in this situation and not be tempted. Therefore, I'm going to stay out of the situation, because if I stay here, I might get caught up. And I know enough to know that I cannot be caught up, because if I get caught up, I'm going to lose everything and I'm going to sin against God. Don't want to do that. Now, if that's the case, what happens to the guy that has been there for 40 years? 40 years. And saying, I'm not this tree. I'm older than this tree. I'm stronger than this tree. I ain't got to worry about all that. I can be alone and it's okay. Ain't gonna bother me at all. If Joseph had took that particular mentality, we would not be reading about him now. We would have been reading about him being beheaded by the master. He stayed true. Now, the rest of the story is he really still got in trouble because she tried to lie on him, but God still kept him. Why? Because you have integrity. See, the thing is that the enemy is going to tempt you by yourself. Sometimes you need to make sure that you stay away from those situations that are going to tempt you to begin with. If you have had a drinking problem and your homeboy say, hey, we're going to come pick you up and go to the bar, you should say, y'all don't know what to say? I don't know what I should say. What bar is it? Who's going to be there? If we know that is our issue, we should definitely stay away from it. Matter of fact, not only should we stay away from it, we should flee from it. We don't flee casually. What y'all got right here? Some crack? Yeah, I was a crackhead for about 15 years. Yeah, I've been clean for about a year. Just gonna walk on through. It's all good. They still got their crack over there? Nah, I'm good. What they got? Alcohol? Yeah. You know, I was an alcoholic, for about 10 years. I was a drunk for the first five, but after that, I started going to the meetings. I was an alcoholic after that. But I've been clean and sober now. Yeah, about three weeks. Y'all drinking over there? Everybody drunk. You want me to come over there? I'm going to come over there, but I ain't going to drink nothing because, I've been sober for 15 days, except for that one time last week. But other than that, I've been sober. I ain't had nothing to drink today. So I'm going to come over there and look at everybody drinking. And if drinking is your issue, If you know that's what tore you away from God, if you drank more than you read your Bible, if you drank more than you prayed, and you know that is your thing that got you away from the goodness and the mercy of God, if you know that's it, not only should you stay away from it, but you should flee when it starts coming. When you hear the knock on the door, get out of here, man. Hit the back door. Jump the gate. Get as far away from that as you possibly can. Right. Best believe that it's coming. And it's coming whenever you are at your weakest point. That's when it's coming. If you think that it's not coming, you are lying to your own self. You know, I've never had a drink in my life. I've never had a smoke in my life. I don't care how many drinks you have in front of me. That's not going to work for me. It's not. You know how many people say, you never drunk? We're going to get you drunk tonight. That's not going to. I don't do nothing for me. You know, it just don't. The devil's not going to tempt me with that. That's like showing me a bunch of naked men. That's not going to do anything. There's a whole lot of them. That ain't going to make a difference. We got a whole bunch of drinks. It's like a whole bunch of naked men. It's not going to change me. Like I'm old now. It's seven of them. That's going to make me what? Come on. That is not my thing. The enemy don't even try to tempt me with that. But I ain't stepping foot inside of a strip club, because let me tell you something. I don't even want to see if I can be effective in that. Amen. I can go somewhere and everybody's drunk, and I can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ without blemish, and I can stand flat-footed right there and proclaim the truth and not be wavered at all. But on the other side, I might come in with the best of intent, with my Bible ready, come in there and say, you know, the Lord said, wow, beautifully and wonderfully made. But because... You're going to be all right. Because it's charity, ain't it, man? It's my father raised me here, amen. That's it. Shoot, I'm like him. But because that could be an issue for me, because that's why I married a woman. I like women, amen. So I'm not finna tempt myself to say, well, you know, I've been a tree for 40 years. I don't need water. I don't need sunshine. I'm good. Walk up in here, you will die. You will fall into that temptation. So we'll find people that have been Christians for 14, 15 minutes out talking about Christ. They're witnessing the people. They're praying on a regular basis, because some of them tell you, if I'm not praying, I'm sinning. And I know I'll be sinning if I'm not praying. And so they stay on their knees and they pray without ceasing, and they're doing all of these things. They're staying with. They're talking about Christ. They're telling other people about what the Bible said. The Bible said that when people see you, they'll know that you're Christians by the way you show love to one another. That's how they're going to know. And they're doing all of those things. In some kind of way, as I walk, I'm not even going to say matures, as it just elongates. It gets longer. 5 years. I don't have to come to church every Sunday. You know, God understands. He know my heart. He sure do. You have a heart to miss church. You know my heart. That's the worst thing. Every Sunday, God know me. You know, I heard a dude say one time, he said, I know enough about the Bible to know I can talk bad about the preacher. I just can't say nothing about God. Did you read this Bible at all, ever? They said, you know, how you going to say, God said, how you going to say you love me and you hate your brother? How's that? Matter of fact, he said, that's murder. You hating him just like committing murder. Did you read that? Nah, you know, I got to 18. Quit reading. I ain't got to read no more. God got it. Keep walking. You've been here 7, 8, 9, 10 years. You know, I've read the Bible and, you know, I've studied this thing, the Hebrew and the Greek and the Aramaic, and I'm familiar with the Apocrypha and Maccabees, and I've studied the Septuagint, and I've done these things, and I've read about the law and how, you know, we're under the law in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, preacher, you know, I don't think that we really need to be tithing. Really? 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 It's a whole lot of stuff the Old Testament say, too. Say, don't kill people. Try that. See how that works. Don't commit adultery. Go. Matter of fact, go to your neighbor's wife, see what happened to you. That's Old Testament stuff right there. Give it a shot. Give it a shot. You know, we don't really have to eat like you're right. Try eating nut with the stuff the Bible. Try to eat the stuff the Bible said don't eat. You end up with high blood pressure and dying, diabetes and everything else. But I'm so smart because I've studied this. I'm familiar with the scriptures. I've read them from beginning to end. Have you witnessed to anybody? No, I hadn't witnessed because I've been busy reading, and I have the Bible translated in 42 different translations, and I've memorized John 16 times in 16 different languages. And but have you loved on somebody today? No, I haven't done that. But what I have done is I took the Old Testament and I broke it down, and I looked back in other religions, and I read what they call the Torah. But have you loved on somebody today? You told somebody about Jesus today. Well, no, man, that's baby stuff. When's the last time you just went and heard a word for your life? Well, now I'm preaching, Doc. I'm preaching. You know, I don't even go to a church if I'm not preaching there. Really? Brother, I am a pastor, and I go hear word all the time. Not only do I go to hear word, but if you follow me to my car and turn on my radio, you're going to hear somebody preaching to you. Why? Because I know I'm just like this tree over here. I still need water, and I don't care how long you've been in the word, 30 years, 40 years, 150 years, you still need this word. You still need to be watered. You still need that sunshine. You still need all the things that you needed to start off with. So no matter where we go in this world, no matter what we do, no matter how much our Christian faith matures, we have to remember one thing. It's very important. Y'all ready for this? There's two things that cause people to fall. Well, there's a lot of things that cause people to fall, but the two things that we're talking about is, number one, not understanding that fall, not understanding that temptation that you're going to fall into. The other is very simple, because after we've walked for so long with no water and anything like that, I want you to read what John 13 and 35 says. We're going to read two scriptures here, and then we're going to go home. John 13 and 35 says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples." This is Jesus talking. "If you have love one to another." I go to churches sometimes, and you can see them deacons, you know, they've been saved for 30,000 years, you know. And they got that look on their face. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That look. Saved, brother. Okay, I believe you. I think. You go to sit somewhere. No. Don't sit there. Don't park in the wrong spot. You will die. Don't make a wrong move in the church. Where are you going? God gonna strike you dead. Ain't no love in that, man. They kicked me out of a church. Brother, you can't come here no more. You're not dressed right. Kick me out. Thank God that they did. Amen. Wouldn't have been here. Lord bless every last one of them. Thank you. Give them the desires of their heart that I didn't have to come up under that. Thank you. In Jesus' name, somebody ought to say amen. How we show love one to another. The last scripture we're going to go through is 1 Thessalonians 3 and 12. Same thing. The Bible says, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you." The very first thing that you've got to remember, so that you don't fall into temptation, so that you don't fall into the things that baby Christians jump over, those pitfalls that they see and they just leap right over, is we got to make sure that we got to stay watered. The Bible says that we should pray, we should watch, and we should pray, watch, and pray, so we don't fall into temptation. Temptation is going to come, but so that you don't fall into it. The next thing you need to make sure is that when temptation comes, you need to flee. Say flee. Flee don't even say, that word ain't even long. It ain't even time to say the word. Flee, quick, short, get out of here. Flee. You know, you don't have, it's not even it's just one syllable. Flee. You know, so you can remember that. Because I guarantee you that you will be tempted in this area. there will be something that you need to flee from. And you will, and I'm gonna, can I be all the way honest with you? Every bit of your flesh is gonna want to say, oh yeah, I want to do that. One of your homegirls is gonna call, girl, you know, some ballers out here at the club. What club? Ain't that the one they were shooting at? Yeah, but you know, they got them, girl. They got them. And you're gonna want to go. It's not temptation if you don't want to do it. I heard a preacher say one time, I had never really thought about it. They said, you know what? Sinning is fun. It feels good for that time. You're going to want to do it. It ain't like, girl, you want to go get your hand chopped off? I mean, that ain't it. Amen. It's going to be something that you want. Every bit of your flesh, every ounce of your flesh wants to do. If you ain't eating for 40 days, every ounce of your flesh wants a piece of bread. Amen. Every ounce of your flesh. Don't be fooled. Well, nah, I've been a Christian for a long time. You can't tempt me with anything like that because I've been proclaiming the word of God for 32,000 years and I've been saved for 40,000 years and therefore the enemy cannot come against me with anything such as that. Solomon is one of the wisest men in the whole entire Bible. You look at the very end of his life and what happened? Women got him. David, a man after God's own heart. This is what God said. What happened at the very height of him doing his thing? Women got it. Ironically, David was Solomon's daddy. That's a whole other sermon. So y'all remember these two things and y'all can go home. Well, these three things. Make sure that you're always praying and watching and praying and watering on a regular basis. You never just get content in the word. Don't get like, I've had enough word. Remember that you're not always just talking about him, but you're talking to him and letting him talk to you. Don't forget, when temptation comes, you have to flee. Don't walk away. Don't backslide away. Don't moonwalk away. You've got to flee quickly. Quickly, because it's something that you're going to want to do. If you linger around, you might fall into temptation. And the last thing is you've got to make sure that you're loving on each other. If you're not loving people, if you're not loving, especially even on the unlovable, if you're not showing love in your own house, if you're not showing grace in your own house, man, one of the things that we say at the Love Church is, if you ain't loving, you ain't living. Period. That's my time. Y'all go ahead and prepare your gifts. Did y'all learn something today?